Well, good morning, Trinity. Good morning, and it's good to be with you this morning on this Palm Sunday. We're glad you're here for worship. If you're a regular here or one of our members, we're so glad to see you. We're always glad to see you every Sunday. And if you happen to be here for the first time today, please know how particularly glad we are that you have joined us this morning for Palm Sunday worship. And I would like to invite everyone's attention, if I may, to the connection card found inside your bulletin. This is a useful tool for our ministry here at Trinity to stay connected with one another. And so if you're here on a regular basis, please just give us your name and email address to let us know you were here today. And if you are here for the first time, as much information as you are comfortable providing us, we would be grateful for. I'd also like to invite everyone's attention to the panel above that connection card while you have your bulletin out that outlines for you all of our Holy Week worship services that are coming up. We are going to have a Maundy Thursday worship service here in the Worship Center that will be in the round, much in the same way that we began Lent with our Ash Wednesday service. That's at 7 o'clock. On Good Friday, we have two opportunities for worship. The first will be at noon in Trinity Chapel, which will be a reflection on the seven last words of Christ. And then here in the Worship Center at 7 o'clock Friday evening for a cantata put on by our Worship Arts Department, the Weeping Tree. And then on Easter Sunday, we will begin with a sunrise service at 7 o'clock in the Memorial Garden, and then our three regularly scheduled services, 8:15, 9:40, and 11 o'clock here in the Worship Center. Now, you might have noticed inside the bulletin, and if not, I'm going to go ahead and take the opportunity now. If you do attend this service and you have children who will be participating in the Easter celebration, or you have youth and sunlight, we certainly understand that you want to attend this service. But if you do not have children or youth at 9:40, we invite you to consider maybe as an act of radical hospitality for those who will be joining us that morning. I hear the laughter. Thanks, Lee. For the 8:15, come to the 8:15 or the 11 o'clock service. Last year on Easter Sunday, we had 250 people attend at 8:15, 450 attend at 11 o'clock, and 1,300 attend at 9:40. And so it would be an act of radical hospitality if you would give up your seat, consider giving up your seat for somebody who's going to be coming on Easter Sunday. So with that being said, I want us to participate together in this tradition that we have here at Trinity. Welcome home. And while you're seated, please stay seated. We are going to take an opportunity to give you a humorous introduction to Palm Sunday this morning. Let's enjoy this video together.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie here to talk to you about something really great, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday that we paint our palms purple to commemorate King Saul talking to that palm reader lady, and then we wave them in the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes,
it no.
is. What Bible do you read?
Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the crowd put their cloaks and palm branches all over the ground, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David."
What I said. What I meant.
Okay, now picture this. Jesus' popularity was going viral. I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead in the same community just a few days earlier.
Wait, post-dead Lazarus was maybe at the very first Palm Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
That's so cool. I bet if he was there, he was probably like, "And you're a thriller, thriller, Jesus. You raised me from the dead when you said, get up, get up, get up, oh!"
Now, to complete all of this, Jesus needed a donkey. Now, you'd think that a king or a prince would ride in on a horse, but not Jesus. He knew the message that he wanted to send. You see, a donkey represents peace. Anybody riding a donkey represented peaceful intentions.
Yeah, it says right here in Matthew 21, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get him a donkey.
Yeah.
Wait, I wonder which two he sent.
Maybe Thomas?
I doubt it. I bet he sent Andrew. Andrew would totally do that. And probably Tony. I bet he said Andrew and Tony.
Tony's not a disciple.
Oh, sorry. Tony.
Still not a disciple. What translation of the Bible do you read? Jesus needed a donkey, so he asked two disciples to go get him a donkey. He told them they would find one in town, tied there next to a colt.
Yeah. And then he says, untie them and bring them to me. And if somebody asks you about it, you tell them the Lord needs them?
Yeah. What?
Well, Jesus told his disciples to go steal a donkey for him.
What Bible do you read? It doesn't say that at all.
I can't figure this out. I mean, Jesus, he changed water into wine. Cool. He fed the 4,000.
He fed the 5,000.
What?
He fed the 5,000.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not the 4th. It's the 5,000.
We're splitting hairs.
Jesus fed a large group of people. And that's cool. He healed people with leprosy. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and then boom, he's like, hey guys, go steal me a donkey. I'm just saying, I don't think that's very WWJD.
The significance of Jesus riding on a donkey, which he did not steal, was to fulfill the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah, but...
And the king, riding in on a lowly donkey, with his way paved with palm branches, the palm branches symbolize triumph or victory.
The what?
The palm branches.
The branch?
Palm branches, Palm Sunday.
I thought it was the palm. They should call it Branch Sunday, because that's confusing. We all have palms with us all the time. I feel bad. I'm sorry, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of His passion and the joy of His resurrection. So this week, let's cover the road to the cross with our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we reflect on the final week of Jesus' life.
Let's celebrate in anticipation the return of the King of Kings.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and let us worship God together as we sing our opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Together. Oh God, we do gather in this space this morning with Hosanna, on our lips, and we pray that as we worship you, bringing all glory, laud, and honor, that you use this time of worship to change our hearts, to change our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And as an act of worship, let us also declare our faith together using these words on the screen before you. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning I have an opportunity to share with you our mission box, not only for this week, but for next week as well. It's Zoe Ministry, and this is one that is near and dear to my heart. At our previous church where we served at Spring of Life, where I had my dance studio, every year when we would do our recitals, a portion of those proceeds would go to support this particular ministry. They work with orphans, primarily in Africa, but throughout the world. And rather than just give them a meal, they teach them how to become food secure. And they give them tools and resources so that they can learn how to run a business and to care for their siblings and to care for others in their community. And they are making a dramatic difference, not only in their individual lives, but literally in the communities where they live and where they're learning to thrive. I invite you to go online and learn more about this important ministry and how you can contribute. And as you pray about that, I invite you to also give generously, which you can do so at any of the 5 mission boxes as you leave today and next week. As we turn our attention towards a time of shared prayer together, we want to remember those that we're visiting in the hospital rehab and elsewhere. And it also came to my attention in between the services that there has been 2 terrorist attacks on Coptic churches in Egypt this morning, specifically on Palm Sunday, where up to 36 are currently being reported as dead and almost 100 are injured. We want to remember those families that are mourning this morning as they came to worship the King of Kings. And let's pray for all those around the world who suffer at the hands of terror and find themselves as refugees. Let's have a moment of silence so that we can pray for the names that you saw, any of the joys and concerns that you brought with you, and then we'll join our hearts together in prayer. Blessed one, to whom we cry out, Hosanna, save us, who rode into Jerusalem on the anthem of our praise, who healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, and set the captives free. Continue your ministry among us. Heal those who are in need. Comfort those who mourn. Provide for those who are in need, and protect those who are in harm's way. Bring us the peace that our world so desperately needs. And we acknowledge that that peace so often begins within each of us. This morning, we stand at the gate, hesitant and uncertain, reluctant to answer your invitation. We are slow to embark on a journey towards your reign. Forgive us. Grant us the help that we need through the power of your Holy Spirit to be your people, to have the courage to join you in the procession of faithful obedience, to have the selflessness to lay down our cloaks before you, and to lift up palms of freedom for your glory.
and grant us the knowledge that we are made whole, individually and collectively, only by your grace that knows no end and never fails. May that revelation fill us with peace and joy as we pray together the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As you remain seated, please join your hearts and minds in our prayer song, Lay It Down, a song that reminds that we can give all of us to Him.
Lord, as you emptied yourself out for us, we offer ourselves and these financial gifts as a sign of our hope in your reign. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is sorrow, joy. Where there is injustice, bring us the courage for change. Amen.
Hello, my name is Brian Rowe. Today's sunlight will be singing Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. In this song, it's been a long time since anyone has seen the sun. Life can be really hard sometimes. Today's song focuses on the journey from having no hope to building that very thing. Sometimes we have times when nothing seems to be going right and nothing seems to work out the way we expect it to. This song reminds us to have faith, to persevere through every rainy day, every storm, and every gale. I believe that this is a lesson to all of us. Even if we do not succeed, we should keep on persevering. There is always hope. There is always love. We hope that like Jesus, when everything is at the darkest, when you are weeping and sad and hopeless, you know that a brand new start is always around the corner, just waiting for you. We will never be alone, and we will always have the love and support of God. Our faith tells us to believe that the sun is coming and that everything will be all right. Now leading you in worship today is Olivia Bryan, Delia Savin, and the Sunlight Youth Choir and Band. Follow along as I read this passage that comes from the 21st chapter of Matthew. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." And he sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. And then he sat on them.
Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God, that God's people say, "Thanks be to God." We pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. Well, in case you missed it, March Madness came to an end this past week. I know. Lots of broken hearts. Productivity, though, has returned to the American workplace. No longer are people checking their brackets constantly. No more boss buttons for another year. Everyone has to kind of put that away until next year. Isn't it crazy how many people get caught up in the frenzy of March Madness every year? Estimates are that somewhere between 40 and 60 million Americans filled out a bracket this year, predicting all of the winners and ultimately the big winner at the end. Only a portion of those got that correct. And, you know, many of the folks who participate in March Madness this year have absolutely zero interest in college basketball, except for when it becomes tournament time. And all of a sudden, they're the hugest fans, right? And not really because of the basketball, because they're checking the team that they picked to win to see if they're going to make it all the way. Everybody loves to pick a winner, don't they? You know, our story today has an element of that in it. Everybody getting caught up in a frenzy. Everybody wanting to be on the winning team. It's the time of Passover. And people from all over the land of Israel have come in order to gather for the celebration of this important memorial feast. The remembrance of that time when generations before God had saved their ancestors and brought them out of slavery from Egypt and into freedom. And so here are all these crowds coming to Jerusalem for this occasion. Historians estimate that in Jesus' time there were likely around 40,000 or so people who lived in the city of Jerusalem. But at the time of Passover, as many as 200,000 or more would descend on the city. Sounds kind of like game day in the fall here in Gainesville, doesn't it? All of these people coming to Jerusalem. And on this particular occasion, Jesus is coming, which, according to Matthew's chronology, this is the only time during his years of ministry that he enters the city of Jerusalem. His ministry has been in towns and villages across the region, but it is only now that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And so a crowd begins to gather on the outskirts of town where they have heard that he will be entering. Some of the folks who go there that day are people who likely were healed by him at some point along the way. There are others, certainly, who have heard him teach at one time or another. Some have followed him, at least for part of his journeys. There are people who have shared a meal with Jesus who show up that day. After all, Jesus shared meals with a lot of people over those 3 years. There are some people who have come out just because they're curious. They've heard about this man that's doing things beyond anything anybody could believe, and they want to come and see him for themselves. There are many who have come
king who would come and with great might and with great power would free the people of Israel and would restore their greatness in front of all of the nations. And so with all of these people and all of these expectations and all of this background, the crowd gathers there at the outskirts of town. And they begin to see Jesus coming in. And perhaps it started with just one voice. One person who, in the moment, gets overwhelmed with emotion. Maybe it was one of those people who Jesus had healed along the way. And suddenly he shouts out, "Hosanna!" Which literally means, "Save us." And then somebody else joins in. "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And more begin to join in. And then before long, this entire crowd is shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in that moment, the crowd is enacting what they have recited from their scriptures for generations. Words that we find in Psalm 118, part of the Hebrew songbook. A psalm that describes that day when indeed God will come and will save the people of Israel and will restore Israel's fortunes. "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What a day! What a moment! What a time! You can just see them thinking, this must be it. This is what we've been waiting for. He is the one. Verse 10 says that the whole city was stirred up when Jesus entered Jerusalem that day. And yet, only 4 days later, the only crowd to be heard is the one that is shouting, "Crucify him." Is, they could have seen it coming. There was nothing about Jesus' life and ministry that had ever suggested that he would come as a mighty warrior who would strike down all of Israel's enemies. None of that. They could have seen it coming. In fact, a little earlier in the gospel, you remember that time when Jesus says to his disciples, just that small group of his closest companions, he asked them, "Who are people saying that I am?" And then he asked them, who do you say that I am?" And Peter announces his great confession, "You are the Christ." And from that moment, Jesus begins to prepare them for what is going to happen. He tells them 3 times, according to Matthew, between that day and the day he comes into Jerusalem, that he will suffer, that he will die at the hands of the authorities, and that he will be raised in 3 days. They could have seen it coming. Over and over, Jesus told his disciples and the crowds that true greatness was not found in great might and power or in boasting of one's own self, but that greatness was found in humility among those who lowered themselves. Surely that didn't set very well with those who were in power. They could have seen it coming. The ways in which he disturbed the religious elite with his teachings, those Beatitudes, where he talked about what true happiness looked like, and it didn't sound like the things that people thought were making them happy in the day, but it was the poor and the ones who mourn and the peacemakers and the persecuted who were blessed and who would find happiness. The way he took their law and in their eyes twisted it. "You have heard it said," about the lost sheep? How dare he suggest that it would be a better idea to go out and care for somebody who was not a part of the community, the inner circle, while leaving all of the good, upstanding citizens behind? They could have seen it coming. And his willful violation of the Sabbath, letting his disciples pluck grain in order to feed themselves, and healing a man on the Sabbath. How dare he? The people he mingled with, the ones he touched, the ones he healed, they could have seen it coming. And then there was this entry into Jerusalem on this day, and the way in which he chooses to come in. Not on the animal of choice for a mighty warrior, that war horse that would signal power and might. Rather, he comes in on a donkey, a lowly animal, and a donkey's offspring, a colt. What in the world? Anybody who suggests that religion and politics don't mix have not looked closely enough at this passage, because in this moment, Jesus is speaking into the face of power that the way God will reign is very different from the way in which those who have come before have reigned. He comes in peace, and he performs his own enactment of Scripture. That verse from the prophet Zechariah that speaks of the one who will come in peace. It should have come as no surprise what would happen. They could have seen it coming. Today is Palm Sunday. And I wonder, are we sure we realize who it is that we are cheering for? Have we listened and heard his message clearly? Many people get caught up in the frenzy of Jesus and in salvation. Being a friend of Jesus sounds so nice until we remember that he says, follow me. And following is costly. Because Jesus doesn't come to indulge our He doesn't come to fulfill our wishes for a king who will simply endorse the lives that we have already chosen for ourselves. And he doesn't grant us immunity from hardship or suffering or struggles. He doesn't do any of that. He is the one, though, who comes to make all things new. And this week, we remember that the path to new life must pass through the crucible of death. His death for sure. And also the death of all of our misguided ideas about life on our own terms, so that we can receive the best life possible. The one that only he can offer us. Can you see that coming? Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name
table and we give thanks to God, because it is good and right always and everywhere to give thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth, the creator who formed everything that is, and each one of us formed us out of the dust of the earth, formed us to love God and to love one another, and yet we know that we fell to sin and were subject to evil and death, but God's love remains strong for us. God's love and grace remained extended to us. And so we come to this table, God calling us to cleanse our hearts so that we might be prepared for the joy of the Easter feast. And so we say with all the company of heaven and all the people on earth, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Save us, Lord. And in the fullness of time, God did come in Jesus Christ to be with us and to redeem us. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he offered himself out of obedience to God, even to the point of death on a cross. And it's through his suffering, death, and resurrection that God delivered each of us from sin and death, that God made a covenant with us for all time, through water and spirit. And so we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke that bread and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so we come. We come and we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves to give for Christ. We offer ourselves to give of ourselves to others. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that by your Spirit we may be those who go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And we pray, O God, that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until you do come in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come forward and join us at the altar rail. Good morning. As you all prepare to come, I invite you to spend a few moments in prayer, asking God to cleanse your heart and prepare you for this feast of Easter week in which we proceed today. I invite you to offer yourself to Christ and to listen to how you might be called to live with courage and to give yourself to others. In a moment as you come, we'll invite you to come forward, beginning with the front rows and moving toward the back. You're welcome to remain seated until your row is served. You'll leave your row out the left side and come to the station immediately in front of your section, and then return to your station by the other side. As you come, you're welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer, and there's also gluten-free available on each of the corners over here.
invite you to come. Everything's ready.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine, living He loves me, dying. Thank you.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant that we might go out into the world with courage to live as you have called us to live, with courage to give ourselves to others, following your example. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We have sung and prayed together about the unending grace and love of our Father. Please stand as you are able and sing of our God, who is worth all praise.
That you will come back this week and join us for services that will help us walk the journey with Jesus, the one that goes through passion and suffering and the crucible of death. Because on the other side of that, a week from today, we get to come and celebrate the good news of resurrection and new life. And for that, I have three quick invitations for you. One, invite a friend or a neighbor to come and be here with us next Sunday. Two, as you heard Aaron mention at the beginning, if you can, I invite you to consider attending 7 or 8:15 or 11 next week in order to make more room at this service, which by far will be our fullest for our guests to come and have a place to sit for worship. And three, in light of that and how busy it will be, those who are able-bodied, park as far away from the building as you can. And leave the spaces closer to the building for those who really need it. And we appreciate your help in that as we seek to be a welcoming and hospitable community next Sunday for Easter. And now go. Go knowing that God loves you, that through Jesus Christ, indeed, salvation has come. And the power of the Holy Spirit is at work so that you might become who you are being called to be. Thank you.
Thank you.